So we have been in a series called Hopeful Endurance, and we've been talking about a New Testament word called hoponeme, and this word is best described by the image of a plant that continues to grow despite extreme environmental conditions. We've said, picture a cactus that continues to grow in the blistering heat of the Mojave Desert. That is hopeful endurance. And as you know, today is Mother's Day, and even though I've never been a mother, I've been a parent, and I know that in order to be a parent for the marathon of parenting, it's not a sprint, amen, it's a marathon, in order to be faithful in the marathon of mothering and fathering, we need to have that endurance. And I was talking to a lady this week, and I said, what do you think are the biggest struggles that moms face? And this lady said, mom guilt. And I'm like, what's that? She said, it's this feeling like you're never good enough. You've never done enough. You're not home enough. You're not the best role model. And today, I want to just ask, are you wrestling with mom guilt? I think a lot of moms are. And let's face it, parenting can be very challenging. I remember reading a book many years ago called Parenting Isn't for Cowards. And maybe today you are a parent in need of hope. Maybe you're a mother, and you know, when that child was born, you had these dreams, and you dreamed that they would follow Jesus, that they would respect you, that when they're older, they'd want to spend a lot of time with you. That hasn't happened. In fact, maybe that child has turned away from Jesus. Maybe they questioned you all the time. Maybe they don't really want to spend any time with you. And if the truth be known, maybe you're disappointed today. Or maybe you're a young mother and the child has just been born and you're so tired. You know, you're getting only a few hours of sleep at night. You're not really talking to any adults. And maybe you're wrestling with depression. I'm reminded of a story of a family that had this boy, and the boy was the apple of their eye. And then the boy got into the teen years and got into the wrong crowd and started doing all the bad things. And one night it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and this boy came home intoxicated. And the mother gets out of the bed, and a few minutes later, the father gets out of the bed, and he's like, she's probably, you know, in the kitchen crying. So he went into the kitchen, but the mom wasn't there. Well, then the father went up to the boy's room, and there was mom sitting on the bedside, just stroking his matted hair. And the dad's like, what are you doing? She's like, he won't let me love him when he's awake. I think that in order to be a godly parent in our day and age, you need to have this hopeful endurance. And today what I want to share with you is some ideas on how to have hopeful endurance for the marathon of motherhood, because mothering is a marathon, not a sprint. Amen? It's a marathon, not a sprint. So how do we have that hopeful endurance? Now, to answer this, we're going to turn to the book of Romans. Now, Romans was written by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul around the year AD 57. And before we dive into our text, which is Romans 5, 1 through 3, or that area, I want us to think about the context. In chapters 1 through 4 in Romans, it talks about just kind of the message of the faith that Jesus Christ died for our sins and we can have peace with him by putting our faith in him. And then in chapter 5, it talks about how our future is secured because of this, that on the final day, we will be rescued from God's judgment because of our faith in Christ. And before we enter into our text, let me remind you that for the first century Christians, suffering was the rule, not the exception. I mean, it was difficult, even dangerous, to be a follower of Christ. So let's jump into our text. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Again, this is, how do we have peace with God? By putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Glory in our suffering. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, Paul shares a counterintuitive truth here, because I don't know about you, but when I go through suffering, my instant response isn't to glory in it, it's to complain about it. I'm like, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Lord, ouch, I don't like this. I don't want this. Lord, please remove this from me. So how can we glory in our suffering? Well, if you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope you get this. We can glory in our suffering, not because of the present discomfort, but because of the eventual results. We can glory in our suffering, not because of the present discomfort, but because of the eventual results. In other words, God is able to bring good even out of difficult things. And some of you may be out there and you're like, okay, Steve, well, what kind of good things can God bring out of suffering so that we can glory in our suffering? Well, the first thing Paul lists is perseverance. Say perseverance. What is perseverance? It's keeping on, keeping on. It's not quitting when you want to quit. You know, I think about perseverance kind of like a muscle, and think about how a muscle can be strong or weak. What is your perseverance muscle? Is it strong or weak? You know, in Luke 9:62, Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, to understand this text, I want you to think about an ancient farmer and they're plowing. And if they look back, the plow's going to go off course. Do you see that? And that's what we need to understand, is that if we're constantly looking back, well, if I would have done this, or maybe I shouldn't be doing this, it keeps us from being committed to the path of Jesus. And to be committed to that path, we need perseverance. And maybe God's message to you today, maybe you came in here in some area of your life, and if the truth to be known, you know, you're thinking of quitting. You know, it's been said that leadership is the ability to hide your panic. And maybe you're struggling, and maybe God's message to you is, don't you do it. Don't you quit. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Now, when I think of that passage, I again think about a farmer. And what can a farmer control? They can control planting the seed. But what they can't control is when the harvest comes. Would you agree with that? A farmer can control their effort. They can control planting the seed. But they can't control, harvest come now. They can't do that. The harvest is out of their hands. And I think the same is true in parenting. I think that as parents, maybe you're out there and you're like, Steve, I've been sowing seed into this rebellious child's heart. I've been sowing seed into my grandchild who I spent so much time with when they were kids, but now they don't want really anything to do with me. I've been sowing seed into this situation and it seems like nothing is happening. Let me tell you something. Even when it appears like nothing is happening, something is happening. You just don't see it. And I think our role is to continue to plant the seed and then trust God with the harvest. So when it comes to the marathon of motherhood, the first thing we need is we need to say, Lord, give me that perseverance. Help me to keep on keeping on when I feel like quitting. So here's what we're learning today. We glory in suffering, not because of the present discomfort, but because of the eventual results. Now, the next thing that Paul says suffering does is it builds character. Now, here are some of my favorite definitions of character. Character is who you are when no one is looking. Character is who you are in the dark. Character is the sum total of your habits. And Paul is saying that suffering, if we respond wisely to it, can build our character. Now, when I was in college studying to be a pastor, one of our professors gave us the assignment of reading this business book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Little did I know what an impact that book would have on me. But one of the things the author talks about is that in the first 150 years of America, success was based on what is called the character ethic. It had more to do with like integrity and humility and courage. But he said after World War I or World War II, I'm not quite sure, after one of those things, there was a shift in our culture. And we went from focusing on the character ethic to the personality ethic. And personality has more to do with public image, communication technique, and personal style. The character ethic was about what's on the inside of the cup. The personality ethic was, how does the cup look on the outside? And he said, yes, these personality traits are useful, but ultimately they're superficial. They can't sustain long-term trust or effectiveness in human relationships, because eventually what's inside will come on the outside. And I just want us to all just take a moment. And what are we focused more on, the inside of the cup, the character ethic, or the personality ethic, how the cup looks on the outside? Yeah, you know, I was listening to a podcast this week, and they were talking about the history of the church. And they said that up until about the year 2000, when they talked about leadership, they talked about things like character and integrity and honesty. But then after the year 2000, it became more about personality and gifting and charisma. And then they talked about how many well-known leaders are falling today. And is it possible because the focus is on charisma and gifting, and maybe we need to get back to character and integrity? But what about you? What is your focus? Is it the character ethic, the internal roots, integrity, justice, honesty? Or is it personality, external leaves, public relations, personality, and charisma? And what is God's priority? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outside of the cup, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see the difference? What if we were to ask the Lord to help us to start focusing more on character than personality? And one of the things that I've discovered is that if you and I respond wise during difficult season, it helps us to build a stronger character. And as I've said for years, God is more interested in our character than our comfort. All right, so what are we learning? That in order to glory in our suffering, we need to, it's not about the present discomfort, it's more about the eventual results. And the first thing is that God builds perseverance in us. Next, he builds character. And finally, he builds hope. Now, often we don't realize that God is all we have until God is all we need until God is all we have. And when we go through difficult times and God is there for us in the middle of a valley, we have this track record of God's faithfulness. And that history of God showing up for us becomes the foundation of our future hope. In Lamentations, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. So a few years ago, I was on a family vacation, and my favorite time of the day is early mornings. And we're at this lake. It was a beautiful lake. And so I got up and got my coffee, and I went down to the lake, and I sat in this comfortable chair. And let me tell you something, it's as close to heaven as you can get. You know, just I love being by a lake. And I remember sitting there and hearing the birds chirping and the animals scuffling in the woods. And I just felt led by the Spirit to make a list of the top 10 most difficult seasons of my life. Okay, think about that. So make a list, top 10 most difficult seasons. I then asked the question, what did God teach me in those seasons? And as I was going through this list, I had a moment of clarity, and I realized that even though those seasons were very hard, and many of them I wouldn't want to go through again, but I was grateful for them because God had taught me things in those seasons that I probably wouldn't have been open to hearing during other times. And I can't explain it, but as I was doing that exercise, I still remember that day, hope began to rise in my heart. And I began to understand the same God who got me through, and not only got me through those things, but grew me through those things, the same God who did those things can help me get through the challenges in the future. And that's what we're talking about today, is when you've been through a difficult season and you don't give up and you trust in the Lord, and years later you look back and you're like, wow, God was teaching me something there. He was teaching me to be more compassionate. He was teaching me to rely on Him and let go of self-reliance. He was teaching me through so many things. And see, that's what we're talking about today, is that suffering has the ability to build perseverance in us. It has the ability to build our character. And it has the ability to build our hope. Theologian J.I. Packer, in his classic book, Loving God, says, "As a believer, I find the cross of Christ, in the cross of Christ, assurance that I, as an individual in the beloved of God, the Son of God, loved me and gave Himself for me." Galatians 2:20. "Knowing this, I'm able to apply myself to the promise that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose." Romans 8:28. "But not just some things, but all things. Every single thing that happens to me expresses God's love for me and comes to me for the furthering of God's purposes for me. Thus, so far as I'm concerned, God is love to me, holy, omnipotent love, and at every moment and in every event of every day's life. Even when I cannot see the why and the wherefore of God's dealing, I know that there is love behind them. So I can rejoice always, even when, humanly speaking, things are going wrong. I know that the true story of my life, when known, will prove to be, as the hymn says, mercy from first to last, and I am content." The reason that we can glory in suffering is not because of the present discomfort, but the eventual results. That God can use suffering to build our perseverance. Don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. That He can build character. And that's what God is most interested in, is the inside of the cup. Who we are when no one is looking. Who we are in the dark. And that He builds hope. That our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in, I've gone through seasons, I've gone through difficulties, but the Lord has been with me, and that confidence in Him gives us hope for the future. So our text concludes with this, "And hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." Notice the imagery of the Holy Spirit pouring God's love into our heart. I don't know about you, but sometimes my love tank runs dry, right? And I think about you mothers, and you give and you give and you give. And maybe today you say, "Steve, my heart is empty. I feel empty. I've always got clothes to fold, dishes to wash, kids to give baths to, dinners to be made, deadlines to be made at my job." And you're like, "I'm empty." And I just want to encourage you moms to pray, maybe throughout the day, Holy Spirit, fill my heart with the love of God. Maybe let's just say that right now. Holy Spirit, fill my heart with the love of God. Now, this was a radical concept in the first century because the first century Jewish people felt like the Holy Spirit was for the future, and others felt like the Holy Spirit was something you attained by living this super holy life. But here we're learning that the Holy Spirit is God's free gift. But I just want to challenge you today is to go into this week and just be praying, Holy Spirit, fill God's love, fill my heart with God's love. So Gregory Boyle tells a story about a 15-year-old gang member named Rigo. And Rigo was in jail as a youth offender. And while getting ready for service, Boyle asked Rigo if his father was coming to visit him. And he said no. He explained that his father was addicted to drugs and was never really there for him. In fact, his father really hurt him. Boyle then asked about his mom. He's like, is your mom going to come and see you today? And Rigo pointed across the room and said, that's her. There's no one on earth like her. Rigo explained that he'd been locked up for about a year and a half, and his mother came every single Sunday to visit him. Now, to get to jail, it took a long time. In fact, he started to cry, and he was amazed by her love, and he said, she takes 7 buses to get here. Imagine that, taking 7 different buses to go see your son. And Boyle uses that story to remind us of what God is like, that through Jesus Christ, God modeled his desire to come all the way to earth to save us. He says that God is a God who takes 7 buses to get to us. Think about what Jesus did at his birth. He came from heaven to earth. Jesus ate with outcasts. He healed the sick. He died on the cross. See, Jesus shows us the heart of God, a God who is willing to go on a long, difficult journey to reach us. Would you just bow your heads? And maybe today you've come here and the Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart. And he's saying, come to me. Come to me, all ye who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And maybe you've not committed your life to Jesus Christ. And today is your day to do that. And if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just in your heart, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you. Please forgive me. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Please take control of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Father God, I just pray for all the mothers in the group today, all the mothers that are watching online. Oh God, I pray that you would give them that hoponome, that hopeful endurance. Give them the ability to keep on keeping on. Thank you that your word says, don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. God, I pray that you would develop in them character, that they would be more concerned with character than appearance. God, that you would help them to think about situations in a different light, that you're building their character through these tough situations. And God, I pray that you would also just fill their hearts with hope, that as they think back of how you've guided them and directed them in the past, maybe it's through a grandmother's prayer or a grandmother's talking to them about Jesus, that you would help them to see your past faithfulness, and that would give them hopeful endurance for the future. But above all, Lord, I just pray that you would fill them with your heart, with your love. Thank you that the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our heart. So God, just pour your love into their heart. Bless mothers today. Lord, I pray for moms that this is an extremely happy day and they're celebrating and they're on a mountain. God, I just bless them and praise you for them. And God, I also pray for those that it's kind of mixed emotions. Please be with them as well and help us, their sons and daughters, to treat them with profound respect today, because your word says, honor your father and mother. God, we love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.